The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hour 3. It feels just like we just got started. You're listening to Talking Metal Live, and if you're listening to the podcast, you're listening to a new one. It's Hour 3. Here's Mark and John.
Hey, welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal Podcast, if you're listening to the podcast version.
Absolutely.
And we are going to get right into an interview right now.
Hey, Rick, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. What's up, guys?
Hey, Rick. Guys, you listeners, this is Rick DeLuca, my old buddy from Berkeley and the drummer of Spread Eagle. Rick, how you doing, man? Great to talk to you.
Same here. Doing well. Driving right now to a recording session with another project I am with Rob DeLuca, the bass player for Spread Eagle. Also, he plays with Sebastian Bach and UFO, and that band is called Of Earth, which is... great stuff, really great material, on the very trippy type, a lot of improv stuff, which you can get free download at November Records, which Spread Eagle as well is on, which is spelled LOVEBEMBER.com. And you guys can, anybody can go there and... get a free download of the Of Earth record. Also, Spread Eagle's first album, which was remastered, is available for sale there as well.
Very cool.
And, right? And is that in download form, or is that just available for sale as a CD?
That's download form.
Excellent. Well, we will put those links up in the show notes for people who are listening to the podcast version of the show right now.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And so, John, and where did you guys first meet?
Well, Rick and I first met, I think, at the Hemingway dorm at Berkeley back in 1987, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes. That's true.
And Rick and I were both drummers. Rick, who was your original, like, who were your private teachers at Berkeley?
Well, I had, mainly was Tommy Campbell, who I studied underneath. He turned me on to a lot of fusion, funk, and Latin drumming. You know, going in there, I was definitely into the metal stuff, you know. And, you know, Berkeley, like they say for drummers, you go in there as a drummer, you come out a musician. And that's what pretty much happened to me, you know. He definitely put me through the ringer, that's for sure.
Yeah, now, did you have any double bass classes with Skip Haddon?
No, I didn't do any of that. I heard it was fabulous, though. I heard he was great.
Yeah, he was a cool guy. What was your major up at Berkeley?
My major was music education.
Cool. And
go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, and you're doing a ton of stuff. In addition to playing with all these different bands, you have a ton of music education projects going on, which we talked about earlier, and I want you to tell everybody about that. And one of your students that is, you know, a friend of the show is Jeff Fab from In This Moment.
Yes, a very good friend of mine. I gave him lessons for many years. He lived down the street from me. I'm some years older than him, and he hunted me out and wanted to take some lessons, and we just became very good friends, and I taught him for a couple of years, and he moved out to L.A. and did his thing, and he came back home to Long Island over the past few years, and we'd get together on a daily basis over at my recording studio, and we'd write our own originals and just hang out all the time. You know, great guy. And we talk pretty much twice a week, even though he's on tour. We do a lot of speaking and getting together, and it's great that he's doing so well in his project. I'm very happy for him. I know he's doing a lot of work at it,
Cool. And tell us about that education, the really cool thing you guys are doing for kids.
Okay. I teach out of a private music school called the Rock Underground in Belmore, Long Island. And what we do is I teach bass, guitar, and drums out of this school. And what we're doing is teaching kids the fundamentals of rock. You know, I know a lot of kids are into a lot of the newer music, and there's a lot of great stuff out there, but there's a lot of not-so-good stuff out there. So we're giving them the basics of, The Who, the Led Zeppelin, the Rolling Stone, the Kiss, the AC/DC, the Stooges, everything of the originalities of when you hear a certain style of music or a band, particularly back from that era, you knew who that band was when you heard that music being played on the radio. And what we do is we take players, and at their proficiency level, we put them into bands, and we get them to learn these cover songs and help them write their own originals. And by doing that, once they get a set together, we actually put on shows, so they can actually see the inner workings of being in a band, the behind the scenes, the hard work that it takes besides the rehearsals and getting along with individuals in the bands, the actual getting to the show early, doing the sound check, the setting up, and, everything that goes into detail of being in a rock band,
That's cool.
Yeah, it's very cool and very rewarding as well, because you see them go from a baby stage and them actually performing their shows and getting there, making sure all the cables are working and backing up, having a backup guitar and a backup cables in case something doesn't work at the show itself, how to rectify these situations that you're not stuck at the gig,
I really like what you were talking about when we talked earlier, and you told me that, when you hear Alex Van Halen's snare drum, that's him, and that's a Van Halen tune. And if there weren't for people like you teaching kids about this stuff, I don't think they'd know it. And I don't think they'd know what to do on a gig when your strings break or your bass drum pedal, the screws fall out. What do you do? And you're really giving the kids the education I think that all musicians should have.
I think it's very important, It's like when you hear this stuff back in... if I go back, throughout the, history of music, if you heard something on the radio right away, you knew exactly what band that was. You could tell, okay, that's Eddie Van Halen's guitar sound, or that's Inge Malmsteen playing from this style, or that's Alex Van Halen's snare drum sound and his frequencies of his cymbals that they worked on and got that for his own individuality. And I find, unfortunately, in this day and age, a lot, it's like cookie cutter. I hear a lot. I mean, there's some great stuff out there, and there's a lot of bands that definitely do have their own identity. However, I do hear a lot of newer music that I can't tell one from the other, unfortunately. And it's the digital recording process. A lot of stuff sounds overly compressed, the frequencies. I'm hearing a lot of distortion. As opposed to the reel-to-reel tape compression. When you have that reel-to-reel recording, you get that nice tape compression, that warmer tone. And I think kids get that becomes the norm, and they don't know what's, that becomes good to them. They think that sounds, the audio is great, and they're not used, and then they don't hear what a reel-to-reel tape recording sounds like of actually hearing the room sound of the drums, and you can really hear the sonic production as opposed to, you know, the digital recording in this day and age. And I think that loses a lot of identity because you can't capture and hear the sonicness of the frequencies of the actual drum set or the vocals breathing,
right.
And, you know.
No doubt about it, Rick.
Hey, Rick, I wanted to ask you, you know, people like Neil Young have actually gone as far as to say that because the music doesn't sound as good, specifically rock music, you know, in this new digital world, that it actually, you know, besides all the illegal downloading and stuff, which is obviously hurting the music business, but Neil Young has actually said that he thinks that these MP3s, they just don't have the personality and sound quite as great as the vinyl used to, and he actually feels that has devalued music in its own way, in addition to, you know, the fact that people are stealing it and stuff online. Do you agree with that?
Sure, I definitely agree with that. I mean, think about it. Anybody can buy a Mac, and I have nothing against it because I have that in my studio myself because I can't afford a 2-inch tape machine. However, anybody can buy the software and record their stuff, and they get out there. And I think that's great, a great tool. But what's happening is it's going out there. People are finding it that's becoming the norm, the quality of recording. Free download, the piracy is tremendous. I mean, once it gets out there, you know, you don't even have to buy it really anymore. I mean, you can go on YouTube and every album is thrown up there. And if you'd like, you save it and you burn it and you just send it to your friends. And it definitely killed the record companies. There's hardly any major labels, and if there are, they're not very rarely are they signing a lot of new acts. And if they are signing a new act, you have to be something exceptional or something extremely different that they feel they're going to make a lot of money on you. You know,
right. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say on a different topic, I wanted to kind of get into Spread Eagle and how you actually hooked up with them.
Yes. Okay. Spread Eagle, a great band. In the, late 80s, early 90s, I was in a band called Your Mother from Queens, New York. And we were friends with them, and they brought us out on the road to do some shows and open up for them. And I became really good friends with Ray West, the singer. We were like a brother from another mother. We really clicked. And Spread Eagle disbanded, and as well as the band I was in, and we all went our separate ways. And the bass player friend of mine started playing and putting together a band called Girls of Porn with the singer from Spread Eagle, Mr. West. And they were looking for a drummer. And Ray's like, oh, I know this guy, Rick. And out of the blue, after many, many years of not speaking with him, we all lost contact, I got a phone call from him. And it was so great to hear from him. And he said, yeah, I'm putting this band together. Would you be interested in coming down and auditioning? And he's a great singer, great front man. And I was more than happy to come in. And we went into a studio in Brooklyn and had an audition. And I had the audition, rather. And I went in and we started just improvising on some music. And it was ironic that I broke a bass drum head. And they're like, you got the gig.
That's awesome.
Which is kind of interesting.
This guy hits, you know, he hits so hard he broke a bass drum head, which I don't know anyone else who's ever broke a bass drum head.
Yeah, it was pretty neat that happened that way. And we did some touring, and it was great. We did some recording with this great producer, Ron St. Germain, who's done everybody from 311, The Creed, Tool, Aretha Franklin, you name it, he's done it. And we did an EP with him, and the band disbanded after some time. Ray wanted to go and do a different type of style of music, and he relocated from Brooklyn down to Florida. And we haven't talked in many, many years. And Spread Eagle did a reunion tour Macaluso do some drumming on that tour, who recorded the second album, as well as Tommy Price. And Chris Caffery on guitar. And, of course, Rob DeLuca, the original bass player. And they went out and did a tour. And after that, they took a little hiatus from playing. And Rob DeLuca was playing with Sebastian Bach and UFO and did some touring with that. And about a year ago, they decided to do a reunion tour. And I got a phone call from Ray stating if I would be interested. And I loved the music, and I jumped on it in a heartbeat. And we got together and played, and it just gelled. We pulled in this guitar player, Dennis Kimack, who is unbelievable guitar player. He shreds, just really great player. And instead of it becoming a reunion tour, it wound up being the band reincarnated. So we're booking shows right now. We're in pre-production to do a third Spread Eagle album. And we're in the midst of writing at this present time, as well as with Rob DeLuca's other band that I'm in called Of Earth. So we got two projects, both of us together, doing pre-production at the same time. I don't know if the albums will be finished. I guess it all depends on how the songs, you know, come up and in a timeline, and we'll take it from there. And right now we're working on setting up some European and U.S. festivals, as well as doing a tour with Warrior Soul.
Cool.
We'll probably set up some stuff with them for about 3 weeks to a month here in the States, probably at the end of August.
Excellent. And you know what? I got two things. When I first came back from Berkeley and I moved to New York, my first job for 3 days was working in the mailroom at MCA Records, and they gave me the Spread Eagle cassette as like a little gift. Yeah, so that was a cool thing. But what I wanted to say is I think it's great that, like, out of all the different people that I met at Berkeley, they're all great guys and all became great, you know, lifelong friends, but including Mark, you know, my co-host here. But I think it's great that you always stuck to playing drums and playing other instruments and stuck in the music business, because I know a lot of people who went up to Berkeley and they could have been killer musicians, but they kind of got out of it after college. And, you know, how did you find it to stay in music, which I think what everybody who has a music, you know, education should do? How did you wind up making that happen?
You know, I think it's one of those things that some people choose to do it and some people are born to do it. They have no choice.
Right.
And for myself, I have no choice. It's who I am. You know, I started guitar when I was 6. I played for about a year. My mother made me take some lessons, and it was the Mary Had a Little Lamb and reading the notes. And I didn't really get a grasp on it, you know, and I got into Little League. And my brother turned me on to Kiss when I was about 7-8 years old. Kiss was on the Paul Wynn Halloween special, and I saw that. He's like, "Oh, great band, you got to see this." And I saw it, and I was really attracted to it. And when I was 9, my mother took me to see Kiss live.
That's
from
cool.
From there on in, when I saw that spectacle, 20,000 people, this loud and music and explosions and the costumes, everything from the production to the music, it was just a calling. It was from there on in, I knew that's what I wanted to do. It was like, there was no ifs, ands, or buts. It was, that's it. So from there on in, it was take private lessons, get together with kids in high school and said, of course, the drummer, everybody comes to the drummer's basement to play because there's too much gear to move. God bless my mother for dealing with so many years of that. And it was all about that high school jazz band, the marching band, the concert band, and just really sucking as much of it in as I could. You know, all styles of music. Of course, I gravitated towards the hard rock and heavy metal. And then, you know, when I was about 16 or 17, I really got into some guitar, and I started taking lessons there, and I informed my teacher that I wanted to go to Berkeley, and he's like, "Oh, you need to learn some of this theory stuff," and I didn't know what the hell that meant.
I just lied on my Berkeley application. No, I'm kidding. But there was a lot of things I said I knew that I didn't, despite the fact that I took lessons for, you know, my entire pretty much life. I started taking organ lessons in first grade, and then my dad is a guitar player, so he, you know, got me started on guitar when I think in fifth grade, but I started drums in third grade. So, you know, but I still didn't know what modes were and stuff like that. And I think I just put, like, you know, it said like 1 to 10. What do you know about modes? And it'd be like 10. I didn't even know what a mode was, but you know, I made it through.
I think my way through that stuff as well, man. Yeah. When I got to those placement exams, they were like, sing? I was like, sing?
Right.
What are you talking about?
I know. That was a scary day, that first audition day. I think they called it an audition day. Hey, by the way, did you see those pictures on Facebook that I think it was Brian Strawn put on Facebook? Yeah, those were awesome.
Oh, John, those brought back so many memories, and just, I mean, I really gravitated towards you when we were up there.
Excellent, thanks. Me too.
Because of that Kiss bond, as well as drummers really bonded.
Yeah, no doubt.
And you play guitar as well, and
right.
You played great back then. I can imagine now. You know,
well, thanks, Rick.
You're very welcome, because you know you're a big Ace fan, and as well as myself, and a big Kiss fan, and we just really clicked, man. It's been a long time. I mean, we've talked over the years, but it was great to get a phone call from you. You know,
absolutely. Well, you've got to come in and hang out sometime with us. You know, when you're in the city, I know you had rehearsals tonight, or else you would have been here. And some of our listeners might not realize that, like, where you're at in Long Island is pretty far. You know, even though it's in New York, it's pretty far away from the city where we're at. And there's no way you could have made your rehearsals and been at here in the studio.
I'm about 100 miles, and I do the trip in about four to six nights, depending a week. You know,
wow, and that's a lot of traveling, yeah.
It is, but that's what it's about. You know, that's when they call paying your dues, and you get like 3 hours of sleep, and you got a part-time day gig, and you know, it's really about for the love of it, you know, because there's no better high. You know, there's really no better high for me personally than getting on my instrument playing, especially playing in front of people. You know, there's just something about it, you know, that it's just indescribable.
No doubt, Rick. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to hear a little bit of Spread Eagle. And
awesome.
And then what I want to do is invite you back. And sometime when we do this again, you got to come into the city, or we'll just go out to some bar and hang out and do a podcast. And we definitely got to do some hanging.
I'd love to. You know, we could schedule something. I'll pull in Ray West, and we can have a blast together.
That'd be great. That'd be totally cool. And, Rick, before we play the song, can we get a Talking Metal ID? Say your name and who you're from, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Sure, I'd love to. You just let me know when you'd like me to shoot it.
Okay, go for it, and then we're going to go right into Switchblade Serenade by Spread Eagle. And, Rick, I'll give you a call in a day or so, and we'll touch base and set something up.
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you for coming on, and go for it.
Awesome. Hi, my name is Rick DeLuca, the drummer for Spread Eagle, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Thanks a lot, Rick.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Approximately 26 minutes into the 9 o'clock hour. The temperature is something degrees and it's kind of rainy outside. This is Talking Metal Live. Or podcast.
Great interview there, John, with Rick, your buddy from Berkeley, who you've reconnected with and is now playing with the great Spread Eagle. What a great song that was, Switchblade Serenade.
Very cool. Brought back memories.
Just to clarify, Rick wasn't actually playing on that song. He is now in that band.
Correct.
And best part of the interview was when Rick goes, I gravitated towards people like you. And John says, yeah, me too.
What I meant was that I gravitated towards people like Rick.
Oh, I thought you meant that you were just totally into
myself. No. I meant that I gravitated to other drummer, guitar playing Kiss fans, and Ace fans. And, you know,
what a stretch.
Yeah. There's some funny photos on Facebook that my good friend Brian Strawn, also a drummer from Berkeley, and I believe he did have the Fraley's Comet cassette in his collection, posted. And there were some definitely, I would say possibly embarrassing, looks that I had back in those days. Because, I had I went to Berkeley with the Bon Jovi wannabe, right. I call it an afro. There were a couple of decent looks I think I had, but then there was the one where I had the hair weave and that
you
was
had a hair weave?
Yeah, for a little while I had a hair weave. And not the hair on top weave, which is what I'll be needing shortly, but the long hair in the back weave kind of a thing. Because I had long hair, but I dyed it and permed it so much and did all kind of screwy things with it that it started to fall off. And so then I got a hair weave for a short time. Yep.
So I guess it was, if you're listening to the live show earlier, we were talking about Revolver Magazine. If you are listening to the podcast in the last episode, we were talking about Revolver Magazine. They are obsessed with this chick from Gossip Girl, Taylor Momsen, I guess her name
That's
is.
That's how I pronounce it. That may not be the correct pronunciation.
Who is apparently only 17 and looks like she's... I don't know, already wasted, but it could just be a manufactured look. I'm curious because I keep hearing in this Goofy magazine.
You accusing her of underage drinking?
Revolver, possibly. Revolver magazine. It keeps talking about her band, so I just wanted to listen to it. Let's if we could keep the mics on, JD, and just check out what this band actually sounds like. I've never actually seen Gossip Girl. Have you, John?
No, I have not.
Liars. Both of you liars.
I haven't seen it. I've been watching Game of Thrones, which is pretty good.
Sounds like a makeup commercial.
See what happens let's see what happens in the chorus if she kind of screams it out a little bit.
So very original stuff.
Yeah. I was expecting a little more aggression or something, like
some
a little
screaming,
little more,
like in this moment stuff.
Yeah. Well, whatever. It's not as bad as I was expecting. It's nothing. I mean, I guess, you know what? I'm sure she helps sell magazines. So, you know, that's.
Speaking of.
That's off the new album, Look at Me, Daddy. Yeah,
that psychologically probably
Miss Nothing
what
that was
caused
called.
Her to.
Basically, the same,
do
that's
that.
The same thing.
And the band is The Pretty Reckless, if you're interested. The album, Light Me Up.
So, leave it to me to find.
Born in 1983.
This
chick.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, we were already.
Yeah, I was like going to see Kiss at Lick It Up tour, and that was '84.
Yeah,
actually. I was in ninth grade.
I lived in I guess in '83, I lived in Hoboken.
'83? No, '93.
No, '93.
Oh,
yeah,
she's born in '93.
Yeah, '93.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was in '93. We were.
Did I say '83?
Yeah,
'93. Yeah, she's 17. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, 93, I was already in New York. And
I've got DWIs older than that.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, on the same page with Taylor Momsen, there is a picture of her with Jenna Hayes.
This is in the new issue of Revolver
Magazine.
Jenna
Hayes, which I don't know if I got this, and why wouldn't I have gotten it? Because did you actually subscribe to Revolver?
I don't think so, but
because,
maybe.
You know, we're friends with those guys. But,
yeah, I think it's a comp subscription, I guess.
Yeah. Now, I get it, too, but I don't think I got this issue yet. But anyway.
Maybe they think you guys live together like Ernie and Bert.
Yeah. No.
It just came yesterday.
Okay,
so
maybe
I
got it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jenna Hayes, porn star. And then there's a little picture of Wayne Static with his wife, Tara Ray. W-R-A-Y, also a porn star. And guess who edited a movie with her in it? Somebody associated to Talking Movie. Metal.
Who?
Talking Movie. Jay Bones.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, Jay Bones has done a lot of work editing lots of cool things, and one which included Tara Ray.
Very good. And you just accidentally said Talking Movies. There is a podcast that has ripped us off. Either
Jeez.
Talking Movies or Talking Television. I believe it's Talking
wow.
Television. A direct ripoff of
Talking Metal. No
and
doubt.
They've become quite popular, actually.
See, that's one of those things where people are thinking they might be going to something associated with Talking Metal or Talking Rock.
No,
and then
it's just the thieves are out there.
Everybody's trying to get us.
Everybody has ripped us off.
Yep.
And
I hear they eat pizza as well.
They do.
If
they
you're
eat pizza on
tell
the
weird
podcast.
Stories about their childhood in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, if you talk about childhood, you drink beer, you do anything on location, you're ripping us off. And you know who definitely I think got that part of his idea for a show from us?
Who?
Mike Huckabee. I swear to God, at the end of every Huckabee show, there's a jam. There's a jam. Absolutely. You know, Mike Huckabee has a show on the Fox News Channel. At the end of every show, he picks up the bass guitar and he goes and jams. And all the rest of the band.
I did not know he did that. Wow.
Yeah,
maybe you're right.
I swear to God, all the band are like people who work at Fox News. Like if like the religion reporter.
Bumblefoot was on that show, wasn't he?
Bumblefoot was on Hannity.
I was just kidding.
Yeah, Bumblefoot was on the panel on Hannity once, but
which I'm sure they got the idea from
Talking Metal. Yeah, they got that one from Talking Metal. But and like Ted Nugent went up and jammed with him the other day, and like he has like a famous band come in and he'll jam with the band just like we do on Talking Metal. So Huckabee,
what would the world do without us?
An idea from us. And you know, Huckabee, he's a cool bass player, man. He's a good bass player. Yeah, but he might be influenced by Talking Metal, without a doubt.
Yeah. Did he buy one of the T-shirts? That's where the double XL went.
Right. Yeah, not to get into politics. I'm just commenting solely on the musicianship.
Right. Anyways, I tell you, I don't know how these people do 3 hours. I'm so freaking tired.
I'm getting
right
my
now.
Second wind actually at this point. Yeah, let's go for
tired,
another
man.
Three.
You want to play some more music and then come back and
why don't we play a couple more songs and then we come back? Oh, I just got a text message. Let's see who this is from.
This is great. If you didn't listen to hour two, please check it out. Download it now on iTunes or at the Talking Metal site.
Yeah.
Hour two is just like this.
Let's Lita Ford recently going through a separation divorce.
Yes.
And it's amazing how some of these people go through a separation and divorce and suddenly they get hot again.
Yeah, Lita Ford, I met her down in Florida.
Yeah, I saw her a few years ago, like looking not so good. But recently, I swear I don't know if she's had a little touch-ups done or lost some weight or something, but she's actually looking pretty good lately.
Oh, yeah, I just saw her in October, I think it was. Maybe it was even more recent than that. And, you know, she looked great, and she said she wanted to come on Talking Metal.
Oh, really?
Yeah, cool. So we can get her.
We did at one
a
time.
A single. Lita Ford on Talking
we
Metal.
We did at one time have an offer out to her to come on, and it didn't come through.
Oh, okay.
That have been on my end. Huh. But if you have contact info, definitely would love to give her
a
get
doubt.
Her on.
I can send her an email.
We'll talk some metal with Lita Ford right now. Let's get into Gotta Let Go by Lita Ford, and we'll follow that up with The Poodles, Metal Will Stand Tall. Gotta Let Go, Lita Ford, here on Talking Metal.
You feel the thunderous, mysterious, and glorious. We bunch of Tories, I'm here. We speed at night, move out of sight, we break our chains. Oh, we break our chains. Oh, yeah.
This is Talking Metal Live. Here's Mark and John with a serious topic.
Yeah, first, you just heard Lita Ford followed by The Poodles. We were just talking about the HBO Lady Gaga special, and I swear to God, we're watching this at home the other day, and we had some guests over, and I'm in the other room, and everybody's screaming at the television during the guitar player's solo, and I walk in there, and they are like, he's doing astronomy. I'm watching this on HBO. And sure enough, he had your exact helmet on, doing the exact, I mean, not notes weren't the exact, you know, thing that you play, but he had totally, it almost appeared, ripped off your look. And I said to them, I said, you won't believe this, but astronomy actually gives this, you know, works with this guy and gives him guitars. Is this true?
Yeah. His name is Kareem. Well, I haven't seen the special yet, so I'm really curious now. But there's a guy, his name is Kareem Devlin. Very, very cool guy. I work with him through the work that I do with Gibson Guitars. And helped him get like a really killer 3-pickup white Les Paul custom that says Les Paul Jesus up on the top, which is what Gaga calls Kareem. And Jesus. And he's a really cool dude, and we've always talked about, you know, guitars and hanging out and stuff. And I haven't actually been to one of the shows, and I know that Jim has went down and saw the shows through Kareem and Ricky, who also is involved with the group. And, boy, I'm not surprised, but it just shows that, like, stuff that we did back in the day, you know, people are, you know, going for it. And, I mean, I was joking, kind of half-joking about the Huckabee thing, although I do think there's a good chance it's somebody over that.
Yeah, maybe not him personally, but, yeah, like, a producer or something, for
right,
sure.
Right, saw Talking Metal and did it. But, you know, I'll tell you the truth, when I see guitar players in silver suits with, you know, motorcycle helmets and space helmets on, I just can't help but think that that's something that they got from astronomy.
To everyone listening, visit astronomy's website or seek some old footage out on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a clip on YouTube right now, actually.
Yeah, and if you type up astronomy,
sit through the Lady Gaga show, if you dare, and match up the ripoff.
Right, if you type in astronomy guitar solo in YouTube, you'll get one.
Astronomy guitar solo. Let's see what this is. I don't know if we have the volume coming out of my computer, but maybe we could. Yeah, here we go.
Let's try it.
Could you turn that? You got it up? Oh, I got it on mute in my computer. There you go. But yeah. Yeah, this is a clip.
Anyways, a special treat for you tonight.
That's Mark Tuckett.
On lead guitar.
Yeah, I'm looking at this clip now on YouTube. And what's crazy is, like, we've had, like, you know, this is, yeah, man, the look is exactly what this guy on the HBO Lady Gaga special does. I'm not sure if he's playing a V, but he has your exact helmet on.
Wow, that is crazy.
Yeah. And what's crazy about this clip on YouTube is this is just John, basically. It's called Talking Metal John Astronomy Guitar Solo. From years ago, probably before Talking Metal actually even existed.
Yeah.
This is you playing a guitar solo at Don Hills, and it has close to 2,000 views. Now, for example, our clips with, let's see, like Yannick from Iron Maiden has, you know, 6,000 views. But you think about it, that's like kind of crazy. Iron Maiden gets 6,000 views and Astronomy has 2,000.
Right.
Bobby Blitz only has 762, you know.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe the Astronomy guitar solo with the helmet is maybe more known than we actually think, you know.
Well, I just wish that I would get, you know, the credit.
You have more views than our Rob Halford interview.
Wow.
You know, so there you go. It's pretty crazy. Yeah.
Man.
The Gaga fans are going to be knocking soon.
Yeah, I hope so. They should bring me out and, like, let me do something with the band.
There you go. There you go.
And I will forgive and forget. No, you know, I don't, I'm, you know, hey, you know, everything, a lot of stuff I do is influenced by other people. So I wouldn't be mad at them. I just would love it if, you know, they said, hey, man, we got this look from Astronomy, or, you know, maybe we got a special guest tonight, Lady Gaga tour, Astronomy.
Astronomy, yeah.
Wouldn't
definitely.
That be cool?
Yeah, that would be cool. You and Ace, man.
Yeah.
Or just you. You don't need Ace.
Hey, I'll put on that spacesuit anytime, you know, for any famous bands, like, you know, that are really famous, like Kesha or Lady Gaga. Kesha actually on Saturday Night Live did, I cannot say, Saturday Night Live did something similar as well. And she had some people looking like Astronomy with silver suits and helmets. And yeah,
never underestimate the influence of Astronomy.
Astronomy, I know. It's true. It's a fact.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Influential.
Influential.
No doubt.
Yeah. You're like the Robert Johnson of silver spaces.
Yeah.
You
know, someday, maybe.
He coined the whole thing, but he never made any money off
yeah.
it, you know?
Hey, man, I don't know where I got the idea, but I drew a picture of myself in 1996 or 5. While I was over at the VH1 studio working on an official break. And that became the Astronomy costume and look and everything. And so
do you still have it? Is that
you wouldn't do it on company time.
That was not on company time. That was during an official break.
Is that drawing still around? Is it in the Astronomy Museum?
I bet I do have it. Maybe
or
it was even
Astronomy Museum.
Yes. It was. I'm going to go look for that.
Put that on the website, will you?
Yeah. If I can find that old picture, I will put that up. And, you know, I was in the silver suit with the platform shoes, and, you know, I just thought, how cool would it be to be wearing a space helmet? And I went and found a motorcycle helmet that to me looked like a space helmet, and I got a silver mirror to go in, you know, in the front, and that was that.
And all I can say is, what's the guitar player's name?
Kareem Devlin.
You may get a knock at your door soon, sir, and you will have been served.
Yeah. Now, Kareem, we're just kidding around.
Jacoby and Myers, like, are going to be coming down your down your driveway.
Kareem, I think is a killer, cool dude, but I think that it would be great to get up on stage with Lady Gaga and come out. Hey, astronomy.
Only fair.
Looks
it's
great.
Only fair.
Right.
It's only fair.
No doubt.
There you go.
Get on the stage with No Doubt also.
Yes. Yeah. They, anybody. I'm sure, copied us. Smashing Pumpkins guy copied us. No. How did he? I was wearing silver pants in the Roy's Baby gig and a shirt that said, honest to God, guys, you can find this on YouTube. First Roy's Baby gig in Hoboken, I'm wearing silver pants, and I had a custom-made shirt that was black with stars on it that said 77. And then the next thing you know, he's got that silver pants with that zero shirt with a star on it.
Yeah. He must have had a spy. One of the 10 people at that gig must have been a Smashing Pumpkins spy.
I swear to God.
The whole world is watching.
I mean, how nutty is that? My shirt was custom made. It had two sevens, and inside the sevens were silver stars. And then he's got a black shirt with the word zero and in a star and silver pants.
You might be, maybe a whole bunch of astronomers have been studying you, studying you for years.
The science... copied me too. Who else copied me? Lots of people copied me.
Joan Rivers.
Huckabee.
I do think that song by, what's that band with the guy from Rage Against the Machine and Chris Cornell?
Audioslave?
Yeah, Audioslave. That one tune might be copied off of Moongate.
Oh, really?
And listen to this. I swear to God, I probably never even told you about this. And guys, I'm half kidding about this, but only half kidding. You know my favorite group, Rammstein?
Yes.
Richard ZK, who is like one of the coolest guitar players, went to his place in the city, his studio. He's got this amazing place. Great guy. Prior to me going there, the reason I went there was to interview him about his solo project, Emigrate. And I swear to God that his first single, which is called My World, is a copy of And You Lied. I'm not even kidding. The listeners do not know what And You Lied is.
Yeah, but the thing with And You Lied,
that was a copy of
this was a
tune.
Song that John and I wrote, and we actually ended up recording it, and it actually sounded freaking phenomenal. I wish I would have never sold that Laney that I used to record that.
But, oh, yeah, I know.
But that's still in cassette. I haven't gotten that transferred to digital.
We got to get that transferred to digital.
But anyways, we ended up leaving that off our original demo because the melody line was too close to
Stone Temple Pilots song.
Yeah.
But
So,
here's the thing, though. Here's what makes that me think that kind of was influenced by us, possibly. If not, was just a striking coincidence. Is that the initial riff was very close. The pace of the song was very close. The vocal line was close. And then what even gets me even more is, you remember I played the guitar solo in there and it was just sort of like a noisy kind of a thing. I swear to God, if you listen to this Emigrate song, you'll be like, man, it is strikingly similar. Now, do I think the Emigrate, you know, my favorite guitarist, Richard ZK, heard our unreleased tune? No, but I don't know. Did we ever release that at all?
No.
It would
be virtually impossible.
Yeah.
Unless he was an astronomer who wore a silver helmet and was one of the 2,000 studying you on YouTube.
Yeah. You know what? I realized
that song wasn't even on YouTube.
Yeah, so that song was never released then, I guess.
Anyways, we got to wrap things up, guys. Okay. Thanks for joining
us
on Talking
that
Metal.
That was Psychic Theft, yeah.
Psychic Theft.
Aliens have, you know, that song might have been copied by aliens. And then they brought it back down and gave it to Richard C.K.
All I got to say is astronomy is back in rare form on Talking Metal.
Yeah.
If this is not what you guys want, go to
the pros and cons section of
Talking Metal forums. I think this is exactly what the doctor ordered. Yeah. Astronomy, slightly buzzed.
No, I haven't. I'm not. Okay. No, this is just my, I swear to God, guys, I am not. I'm just not in the mood for the partying kind of a thing today.
Right, no. Definitely. We'll edit that out of the podcast.
Yeah. Guys, if you haven't heard this, which I don't think I've told you, I'm actually a little bit sad because Of all odd things, my MacBook Air slipped out of my bag, which, how weird is that, and fell down onto the New York street, and it got some nicks on it, and thank God it's not broken, but, you know, when you get something brand new, you want it to be nice, and just like when I got my Droid phone, and I got my first, you know, I dropped that, you know, I was upset, but I'm actually more upset that I dropped, like, a really expensive Mac computer, and I actually didn't drop it. It wasn't my fault. I was getting out of a cab, and the cab was one of those SUV kind of cabs, and right. So I had to kind of, like, you know, lean down to get out, and when I leaned down, nothing else came out of my bag, but it's a new bag, and that MacBook Air slipped right out. It only weighs like 2 pounds.
Very strange. I was coming here, and I saw the guitar player from Lady Gaga drop his computer.
Yeah, there you go.
He copied me. Yeah, no, I'm kidding.
This is Junior's Eyes. It's an old Black Sabbath classic. Not even a classic. More of a kind of off the beating track.
Off the beaten path.
Off the, thank you. Off the beating
path. I didn't mean to butt in, but I just wanted to show people that I want to go on record. I am not partying today at all.
Okay. Junior's Eyes, the great Black Sabbath classic, maybe not classic, off of Never Say Die. This is a cover by Zakk Wylde and the guys in Black Label Society. Sounds great.
Are we
wrapping
this up?
Pick it up on iTunes. We're done. Yep.
Hey, I got one more comment. But now,
take your time.
You know Nick Catanese from Black Label?
Yeah.
Remember
yeah.
He was in a band with the guy from Queensryche?
Yeah, they ripped you off.
No. Oh. The drummer of his band, Double Drive, is right. Now, who became the drummer of Double Drive, who became the drummer of Speed X, which was the project with Nick Catanese and the guy from Queensryche, is now the drummer of Black Label. His name is Mike Froge.
Cool. We were trying to figure that out.
So this is all off the top of my head, but I have now put two and two together and have corrected that factual, whatever you would call it. So anyway.
Well, that about wraps it up for
this
us.
This is,
here
yeah, Junior's Eyes by Black Label Society. Have a good night, guys. Thanks
for
joining us. Email us at talkingmetal@yahoo.com.
Innocent eyes watch the man who gave everything.